This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We've got breaking news on the situation in Turkey. More concern with ISIS and the situation in East France. And tonight's the first night of the Republican National Convention, Making America Safe.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a very bad moment in the fight against ISIS, unfortunately, because a great deal of the military effort is moving out of bases in southern Turkey. The freezing of cooperation along that border, I think, is a real possibility as our Turkish colleagues sort through the challenges. Secondly, the Turkish military itself will be consumed with investigations, retribution, arrests. They will lose their effectiveness as a fighting force in this. So one of the real winners here, if there's any winner in a coup, is going to be the so-called Islamic State.
With Erdogan, he's been in power for almost at least a decade and a half, and he has been systematically dismantling the democracy. There are more journalists in prison in Turkey than there are in China.
They are on the run, and I believe what we're seeing are the desperate actions of an entity that sees the noose closing around it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I don't think ISIS is on the run. Well, Jason, they might be expanding.
Jake, it depends on where you mean ISIS. I don't know if this guy was actually ISIS, and nor do you.
The opening gavel of the 2016 Republican National Convention is now just hours away here in Cleveland.
After introducing Governor Mike Pence as his running mate over the weekend, Make America Safe Again is the theme for day one.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to Washington, D.C., and there's a lot going on. You just heard Secretary Kerry saying, well, we're not even sure he's ISIS. Well, here's what you got. This is talking about the individual that did the horrible terrorism attack in Nice, France. ISIS has said he's ISIS, and it almost doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that investigation is ongoing. These are ISIS-inspired attacks, and the administration's narrative just frankly isn't working. Having said that, you had at the same time, you're talking about a cataclysmic events taking place. You had, as the Nice situation was unraveling and the horrible loss of life there, then we have this so-called coup in Turkey, which raises another host of issues that are significant because Turkey, a NATO ally, is an Islamist government now, and Jordan, although they have restored the relationships with Israel, only because the Russians and the Turks were at it. The fact of the matter is, if you look at it right now, this situation in Turkey is far from stable.
No, very complicated. And in fact, you've got mass arrests happening in Turkey, over 6,000 that have been arrested, yeah, including soldiers and the judiciary. So basically a cleansing. And that is actually a word that Turkish President Erdogan used, a cleansing of the military and the judiciary, basically taking out the secular remnants that have plagued his regime, that have put some check on his power. Remember, he's been prime minister, back to president. He's changed the constitution. Right. And calling into question whether or not this was a legitimate attempt at a coup, or was it a situation utilized by the Erdogan government to, in a sense, justify basically this, quote, cleanse of their military and judiciary. Now, on top of that, that situation, yep, of course, it complicates it by the U.S. airstrikes that are ongoing against ISIS. We use a military base there.
Military base, as of right now, is not being utilized.
The campaign just started once again, but there's been the criticism from the U.S.
Okay, that's good.
And then we expect that Turkey is going to put a lot of pressure on the United States. One of their dissident leaders who is in self-exile here, yep, in the United States, that they'll put pressure and say that, yep, that's a test of U.S.-Turkish friendship.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments on this on the Republican National Convention opening today. Keep America Safe is the theme of that. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage.
All right, you can join us right now by giving us a call. Lines are open. All the lines just opened up, and you can be a part of the show right now. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice heard, or join us right now on Facebook or Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow, or directly facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. Broadcasting live now also on ACLJ.org.
We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. There's a lot happening globally. We're in a meeting today on issues affecting the Middle East and Israel. I'm coming to you from our office in Washington, D.C. We're going to be meeting with some of the senior Israeli government officials this afternoon on some major projects. I mean, major projects that we're working on at the United Nations on behalf of the State of Israel. Significant issues involving terrorism, international terrorism, the definition of terrorism. Than Bennett's with me here in Washington, D.C., Jordan and Logan in our media center. Than, tonight the theme is Make America Safe Again. Let's talk about who's going to be speaking at the convention.
Yeah, Jay, and you know, you asked Jordan during the break if this is going to be the defining issue of the election, and it sure should be. This needs to be the number one issue. Tonight, speaking at the convention, of course, Donald Trump's wife, Melania, is speaking. You also have Governor Rick Perry, Marcus Luttrell, who's famous from his book, Lone Survivor, and others. Also, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Jay, who was one of the finalists for the VP spot, so he's going to kick off tonight. And then we talked about this during the break. Donald Trump will make an appearance tonight, which is unusual, first night of the convention.
Yeah, so Logan, that's kind of a historic moment, correct?
Yeah, I mean, people have been talking about that all morning. It's usually something you don't see. It's usually that's the grand reveal, sort of the finale of the convention, obviously, is hearing from the candidate. But I think it's important. It's important to set up his wife as someone who, look, I mean, he runs on a campaign that's sort of oddly anti-illegal immigration, but anti-immigration. You're going to have someone up there who's clearly not English, not her first language. So I think it's important for him to go and set her up and say, here's what we're doing. Here's why she came here legally. Here's how the system can work. So I think that's a smart move from a media point of view, because there may be people, and I assume a lot of people, who have not yet heard from her at all. It's not like she's making big speeches out in public very often. So I think that's this is an important time for Donald Trump to kind of secure people's feelings about that.
Yeah, Jordan, let's talk about this Make America Safe Again theme. This is Monday night. Now, you've had, over the weekend, we've had, of course, we had the situation in Nice. We had another three more police officers gunned down in broad daylight in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I will tell you the tension level here in the District of Columbia is about as high as I've seen it maybe since 9/11. I mean, it's pretty palpable. So we look at the issue of Keep America Safe. Dan mentioned this is going to become an issue. Does this become the issue?
Yeah, I think that people realize that there's a crisis in our country and then, of course, abroad. So you've got the terrorist threat, the Islamic terror threat. You've got the racial divisions in our country that are, I think, just being double down, highlighted by the attacks that have happened in Dallas and then Baton Rouge. So you've got also this crisis amongst our law enforcement community, which are typically who we look for to be confident in situations of uncertainty, in situations where, you know, lots of crowds, like the Republican National Convention, where you've got law enforcement and security forces having to keep all of these delegates safe and high-profile individuals safe. And then right after that, you've got the Democrat convention. So you put all of these events together, and people are certainly very concerned in the country, not just from the terror threat, but also from what's happened to our law enforcement officials. And I think that that's starting to be felt in communities that maybe didn't realize that as much, that the extent of this issue and the racial issues plaguing our country right now, that's coming to light more.
Let me give you a statistic here, folks. This is coming from a very interesting report out of the Daily Caller, but it's also a report from the United States Department of State's Country Report on Terrorism. Now, these are staggering numbers. So the spate of terrorist attacks over the last year or so, Charlie Hebdo, Paris, Brussels, Orlando, Nice, San Bernardino, have sent an inconvenient truth, the article says, for President Barack Obama. Terror has skyrocketed since he took office. And it's not just anecdotal. The numbers add up. Since the Syrian civil war began in 2011, the global carnage as a result of terrorism during the Obama administration adds up to, are you ready for this? At least 131,081 casualties. These figures, by the way, you don't have to go digging for them. They are publicly available at the United States Department of State's Report on Terrorism, which annually surveys these terrorism reports. The Country Reports on Terrorism 2015 starts off by admitting the global terrorist threat continues to evolve rapidly in 2015. And this was just last year, becoming increasingly decentralized and diffused. This is an inconvenient truth, fan. For this administration.
Yeah, and Jay, that report comes out of the State Department, which is led by John Kerry. You played some of the sound in the open, but let me read to you one other thing he said on ABC's This Week. He said, and I quote, "The Islamic State has not gained one foot of territory and held it in either Iraq or Syria since we began this effort a year ago." And then listen to this. He says, "I define that as success." Jay, they're living in an alternate reality.
It is an alternate reality.
You don't
reality.
Have to gain territory to gain ground.
No, because they're killing innocent civilians. You know, there's not even a global definition. You understand this. There's not even a global definition internationally on terrorism. That's one of the things we're working on literally today. Let me play bite number 7, John Kerry being pressed by Jake Tapper.
They are on the run. And I believe what we're seeing are the desperate actions of an entity that sees the noose closing around it.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'm not sure that it looks that way to the public, that ISIS is on the run. In just the last few weeks, we have
seen a
series of ISIS-inspired attacks. 49 killed in Orlando, 45 killed in Istanbul at the airport, more than 200 killed in Baghdad, 84 in Nice. This is just the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, and then he follows it up with Thane just read, but I want you to hear it. Listen to this. This is the next one here. And this, Jake Tapper, "I don't think ISIS is on the run and might be expanding." This is CNN, folks. Listen to number 8.
"I don't think ISIS is on the run.
Well,
they might be expanding."
Jake, it depends on where you mean ISIS. I don't know if this guy was actually ISIS, and nor do you. And we don't know that the guy in Orlando was fundamentally ISIS, nor even told what to do by ISIS. If people are inspired, they're inspired. But ISIL, which is based in Iraq and Syria, is under huge pressure. And that is just a fact.
Yeah, well, let me give you another fact. They may be under pressure in Syria and Iraq, but it is ISIS or ISIS-inspired. And to the dead people in Orlando, Florida, 49 people dead, this guy said he was inspired by ISIS. I take his word at it. How about that? Now you've got the situation in Nice, France. And I think there were multiple security failures in Nice, France. But this guy, there's now evidence coming out on this that was an email dialogue where he was emailing someone. We don't know who that someone is yet, but said he had had the weapons. And the French foreign minister, Jordan, said he's been radicalized in a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's right. And so he brought a serious amount of cash back home to Tunisia to deliver that to his family. And over his history, it sent back small amounts of money, but delivered nearly $100,000 to that family. Then there's the communication.
And where did that come from?
He was talking about this to someone. We know that he was talking about, "I have the weapons." And so we know that communication was there. And ISIS has claimed responsibility for this attack. They've called him one of their soldiers. So I think when you put all of this instability together internationally, whether you're talking about Turkey, Nice, and the situations here in our own country, whether it's Dallas, Baton Rouge, Orlando, the list goes on. But just recently, you put this all together, the GOP theme of Make America Safe Again resonates. You know, it's not corny. It resonates because people don't feel safe, and they don't feel safe. It's not just big. It's not just New York and L.A. and Washington, D.C. It's Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, Orlando, Florida. These are the ones people are coming through. You know, I kind of said it earlier to you guys off the mic, but, you know, I have a couple friends who I've been talking to over the weekend. One is extremely liberal. One is not extremely. Let's say on the liberal side. One is on the social conservative side, and they both said, they don't care about anything else. This is a one-issue campaign for them because they both have young families. Yeah. You know, we grew up in an era where pre-9/11, you felt very safe, especially millennials felt very safe in this world. And honestly, post-9/11, until the last year, 2 years, you've kind of forgot how that felt because you were feeling safe. Like, that was almost a one-off. There was obviously things that happened. But now, for this stuff to happen, like you said, in Orlando and Dallas and places that are not traditionally where you think unsafe, same with some of my police friends, they all saying, you know, they're voting strictly on that, and you can probably guess where they're voting because safety is the only thing they care about.
You know, it's so interesting because Dan and I are in a meeting up here, and what we're talking about right now is the lack of a definition internationally at the UN and in the International Criminal Court of The Hague. There's not a definition, a legal definition of terrorism. Now, this is something we've got a team. We've got a team of about 10 people working on this right now. We've got between now and probably, December to get that done. There is not a definition of terrorism.
Not only is there not a definition of terrorism, Jay, but they're not even looking at the facts. I mean, you guys have been talking about this decentralized strategy that ISIS has. ISIS tells us that's their strategy.
Of course.
And yet when there's an attack in Nice or an attack in Paris or an attack in San Bernardino, this administration tells us that it's not ISIS because it's not happening in Iraq or Syria. Until we wake up to that fundamental change, Jay, there will not be a solution.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls. Don't forget that we also have unbelievable acts of genocide taking place right now. We are working on that. We were in meetings on that as well today in Washington. We've got an email that is out right now talking about what ISIS has done, not only in Nice, France, but what they're doing in the region. I got emails from friends of mine in the region. It is horrendous. Hundreds of Christians, Yazidis, and others being killed every day. Help us. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift where I encourage you to do that today. ACLJ.org. You can make a huge difference in our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for, so we encourage you to do that. And then Logan's going to let you know. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break here, folks.
That's right. Even if you tried to call in earlier, we're having some phone line issues, but they are fixed. So give us a call right now. Lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. And be on the show today.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you out of Washington, D.C. Well, I'm with Than Bennett. We're talking about the situation that we're dealing with this afternoon, which is some issues involving Israel with high-ranking government officials from the state of Israel today. We're talking about definitions of terrorism. We're talking about persecution that's going on in the Middle East. You're going to be getting an email from me today. I encourage you to respond to it. It is our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for aclj.org. Let's go ahead, Logan, and start taking some calls and comments that are coming in. And we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Sure. Let's go to Marilyn first, who's calling on line 3 in Minnesota. Let's go to Marilyn. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. Hey, Marilyn. I'm concerned about some of the terrorist acts that are going on in the United States. We have people that feel disenfranchised. And whether it's just perceived by them or actual, these are the people that ISIS is targeting. And I'm afraid that these people are flying under the radar, and we will have no way of knowing when they're going to attack and whether it's done.
Look, I think you raise a very important point, and that is we've had a major intelligence failure. Let me tell you about it. You look at the situation in Orlando, Florida. We've got a Freedom of Information Act request going out right now. We've actually sent some out to the FBI. We're going to be in court with against the FBI on this. Here's a question. You had Omar Martin under surveillance multiple times, and you let him go, and then he does this act. He wasn't deemed to be a risk, although he lied to FBI agents. He lied to FBI agents during the course of the interview. They knew it, and they didn't charge him. I mean, think about that, folks. Think about this in Nice, France. Talk about a security failure. You're in a promenade, which is primarily pedestrian. Someone comes with a 19-ton truck. They say they're delivering ice cream. And you don't check to see if there's ice cream there. That's the French. But we're not doing any better. And this is part of the problem. I think that look, where John Kerry's got it wrong is he wants to define ISIS by Iraq and Syria. We need to define ISIS by what they're doing globally. And, Jordan, that is a fundamental difference of how the administration views this threat and how we do.
They don't want to combine the threat from ISIS, not just the threat in Syria and Iraq, but also the threat that ISIS poses in Nice, France, and here in the United States in Orlando or San Bernardino. So throughout the world, it's not just terror attacks in Iraq that are mentioned, but the terror attacks right here at home in our own country, in Western Europe. These are how the administration tries to, I think, define ISIS as separate, their international terror efforts as separate from what they are doing and attempting to do on the ground in Syria and Iraq. And no, it's different. In Syria and Iraq, they are trying to govern and take control of territories and keep control of territories. It's all part of their propaganda and is all part of their ideology. And it's all emanating from the same leadership structure, the same ISIS leadership structure. And in fact, by having these cities and areas in Syria and Iraq, it's how they're able to coordinate, operate, recruit these terror attacks and why they've seen success internationally.
Yep. You know, and we don't know if the coup in Turkey was put on by Erdogan so he can consolidate power. But let me tell you this about Erdogan. He is an Islamist. He's in partnership with the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes, they reestablished diplomatic relationships with Israel. Than, you've written about this for our Oxford Center. But the fact is they did that because they had to, because Russia was becoming such a threat. But you had this coup that took place literally just 48 hours ago. This is how fast world events are changing. And it's almost a footnote now in the cycle, because we've also had three more police officers killed. By the way, these individuals are killing white police officers, black police officers, Hispanic police officers. They're indiscriminate in that regard. So this is we've got a serious problem in this country right now, and it's not being recognized.
Well, not to mention, Jay, that President Erdogan is directly implicating the United States in this, blaming it on Fethullah Gulen, who's here, which I did write about. I don't think that's a legitimate excuse.
But that is the excuse.
He's using it. And I would just add this to it. What Secretary Kerry is missing, and what Jordan alluded to just a moment ago, is this administration, Jay, does not understand what is recruiting people to the side of ISIS. And what is recruiting people to the side of the ISIS is exactly the strategy that the United States has put place. That containment strategy, guess what? They look at Syria and Iraq as a place that ISIS controls and governs, and they view that, Jay, as the caliphate. That is exactly what is drawing people to their side. So our strategy, the United States strategy, is in fact enabling them.
All right, let's do this, Logan. Let's take some more calls and comments.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Patty, who's calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Jay.
Yes.
First of all, I want to tell you, I want to make a statement about the shooter in Orlando. My opinion is that he was Islam affiliate. He was gay.
I don't think there's any question that it was ISIS inspired. I don't think there's any question. Whether they directed it or not does not matter. It was clearly ISIS inspired. Yes, go ahead.
Father was very good friends with Hillary Clinton, and that's the reason why the FBI was squashing everything along the way for the last 10 years of his life.
Well, we're finding out what the FBI was squashing, Patty, because we just had a meeting just moments ago, and we talked about these Freedom of Information Act requests where we are drilling down on things like, why did you edit the transcript of the phone calls, removing the Islamic references? And maybe it's the same reason you remove Islam jihadists from our actual printed materials. But then that we were just talking about this minutes ago.
Yeah, the FBI didn't do their job, Jay. The American people
did
their job. This gun shop, Jay, called this in to the FBI and actually refused to engage in the business that they exist to do, which is selling ammunition. They recognized this guy as a threat, told the FBI he was a threat, and the FBI's conclusion, he's not a terrorist, he won't go postal.
You know, and so, Jordan, the administration's, that's why I think, interestingly, tonight, you've got keeping America safe again as the theme for the Republicans, which when you look at what's happened in Turkey and you look what's happened in Orlando and you look what just happened in Nice, France, this is issue one.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And then you add in Baton Rouge and Dallas and the this dialogue that's
people are afraid
kind of happening. But really, you know, the president's been criticized by law enforcement, by his statements that he's made. He's tried to, I think, in the last 48 hours, come out and tone that down a bit because of the continued violence happening in our streets here. So you've got the threat of terrorism. You've got the racial divisions that have led to this attacks in Dallas and in Baton Rouge, which honestly, similar to terrorism in the sense that you have these individuals who are very misguided, both with similar backgrounds, military backgrounds, and who are, in a sense, radicalized by rhetoric and to take the law and justice into their own hands. And we're, you know, it's pretty unprecedented to see these kind of attacks. So you have that, then you've got the Islamic terror threat as well. And so there's major discussions that have to go on in our country and from our leaders and those who are seeking to be our leaders at the national level, like Donald Trump. And so this theme, and I think we're going to get a better idea tonight of who Donald Trump's getting advice from when it comes to national security, what their message is. These are people who have done 5-minute TV interviews but haven't necessarily given major speeches during this campaign yet. So that will also be very telling for people.
We have an email out right now that says Christians are being massacred to the brink of extermination, and this is happening, of course, by ISIS. They've been torturing, crucifying children for refusing to renounce Christ. That, by the way, 200 there. And even though we've successfully pressured the Obama administration, and we did, to recognizing the genocide against Christians, you know what obligations they've done? You know what action they've taken? Zero. We are 24 hours away from delivering a critical legal demand directly to the State Department on this issue. We need you on this signature. We need you to help us out. We are sending a legal demand to the State Department tomorrow, ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org is a way to sign on to that petition and support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign. Logan, let everybody know how they can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
That's right. Join us right now, Facebook.com/JSeculo or on ACLJ.org. We're also broadcasting on Periscope. You can find it archived later on the JSeculo Live podcast or at ACLJ.org or the ACLJ app.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Secular Live. This is Jordan Secular. Plenty to talk about. We're taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Obviously, tonight, the Republican National Convention kicks off. Right now, there's general convention meetings going on, but the main speakers, and tonight, the focus will be on Melania Trump, and Donald Trump is planned to. This is what all the media outlets are reporting. Donald Trump will be introducing his wife to the American people. For those of you who follow politics closely, just keep in mind that for many Americans, most Americans, this is the first time they pay any attention to presidential politics. You know, the primaries, there's very low percentage of voters actually showing up, even in these kind of unprecedented elections like 2016 with the Donald Trump primary win. And of course, a lot of uncertainty as well. You don't know exactly what to expect from a Trump Republican National Convention. This is a lot different than the choreography that goes on in previous conventions. And this is all leading up to a weekend where you've got basically the highlight of the crisis ongoing in America, the attack on police officers, the loss of life of police officers in Baton Rouge, following up on what happened in Dallas. Then you had the failed coup in Turkey, which we've analyzed. And of course, ICE is taking responsibility for the Nice terror attacks, calling the attacker there a soldier of ISIS. This is all happening within 72 hours. So the theme for the Republicans tonight, make America safe again, I think will resonate with people as they tune in.
Well, yeah, Scott just put it on Facebook, and just kind of a true comment, and it's interesting thought process post. Kind of said, after 9/11, you know, we went after the people who attacked us. Why aren't we attacking ISIS after Orlando or any of these situations? And I even think that's where the mindset of court of public opinion is interesting, is we saw that war, if you're for it or against it, you saw it live on television every day. Yeah. You understood, you saw something was happening. There was a response. The lack of response and this just feeling of we just almost take it. Yeah. Like, yes, you know, 50 people of Orlando are dead. It's very sad, but we just take it. That seems to be the sort of feeling that I'm getting from a lot of people and from myself, obviously, that says, you know, it doesn't feel like anything is happening.
Well, and you know, you've got it's airstrikes, and mm-hmm. a lot of these are with drones, and right. those were even put on pause over the weekend. This is how the Turkey situation really impacts what's even happening in our own fight against ISIS, what the U.S. is actually doing, which we don't believe is enough. But the air bases we use to carry out those airstrikes on ISIS are in Turkey. Right. And when this coup was happening and the response, we had to put those airstrikes on hold. So you're not going to, you weren't seeing a lot of the attacks. And that's really all that's happening. We do have some special forces on the ground, but you're not, it's not the same way you saw it played out as you feel like we're doing something about it.
Right.
It's like it or not, you don't feel that way when you turn on the news. And honestly, you know, you get focus on Nice for 24 hours. Then it's Turkey has a coup for 24 hours. Then it's three police officers killed in Baton Rouge and the racial division happening in our own country, unrelated to Islamic terrorism.
Right.
So you put it all together, it's a bit much for people to take in.
Yeah, I mean, people can't. I mean, they're generally the, you know, Dallas put out giant sign, you know, enough. And I think that's how people feel right now. There is this general feeling, and that's why the Make America Safe Again happening tonight is not, like you said, corny. It's the point where people are at their breaking point.
Yeah, and I think that you could say enough, but we know when you get to these points, it starts piling on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've seen the end to any of it.
Any of it, yeah.
So we see on the terror side these individuals that are radicalized and focused on by ISIS, they all meet very similar backgrounds, whether it's the Nice attacker or the Orlando attacker.
Yeah, very
troubled,
similar.
Criminal past, not necessarily the best by the book Muslim or extremist Muslim. So you've got kind of their outside of their mainstream of even what you would consider an Islamic radical, but troubled. And so the focus there. The shooters in Dallas and the shooter in Baton Rouge, military background and similar age, similar just things that they've been dealing with. So you put it all together. Again, we want to take your calls. We want to discuss this in light of the fact that now we have to also look to the political realities of this. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also still broadcasting, of course, on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Facebook, Periscope. You can watch us even during the breaks. We have exclusive video and other ways you can talk with us during that. So the show never ends over there. You can obviously just go in there and comment, even if you're listening on radio. We'll be right back.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're talking about, of course, the Republican National Convention and the tragedies that hit Baton Rouge, following up on what happened in Dallas, and the uncertainty in Turkey, the crackdown there on the military and the judiciary, thousands of arrests and the talk of reinstating a death penalty by the Turkish President Erdogan. And of course, the Nice terror attacks, which were focused on for about 24 hours until the Turkey uncertainty and failed coup started on Friday evening when it was being reported. And what we were just talking about coming out of the break, of course, was how this convention will feel tonight. That in the past, I mean, typically you had speakers on these early nights, even candidates' wives or their family had already at this point, they're kind of professional speech givers.
I know what you're getting.
Even if they weren't that comfortable in the spotlight because they're not the candidate, you know exactly what you're getting. Not surprises. When you hear that Donald Trump's coming out tonight, you have no idea what may or may not be said. It could be very scripted. It might turn out that way. And I expect that some of it will feel the typical convention way. But he's coming out, he's making a speech, and he's going to be in front of a lot of cameras and a huge crowd.
Yeah, so who knows what happens when Donald Trump ever takes the mic, and it's always fun, it's always entertaining, whether you like him or not. And I think you're right, you look at this, occasionally you have the year where there's a breakout. You have Barack Obama,
yeah.
You have Palin making statements that are huge and that get over so huge with the audience where people go nuts, and that's what you see over and over again. Well, this is such an untraditional even list. Yeah, there are some of the normal suspects, but a lot of those people don't show up, and you have people filling the slots, the celebrity slots even this time. Scott Baio, Dana White, who's the UFC president, just sold his company for $4 billion, so clearly a big business guy. venture capitalist Peter Thiel, all these people show up, it's going to be a different vibe. And, you know, these guys aren't, I mean, yeah, I mean, Dana White, Scott Baio, these people are used to being entertainers, but they're not used to going and making political speeches.
You have no idea.
No.
Exactly. I mean, they will have scripts and they will either stick to them or not. But ultimately, whether they stick to the teleprompter or not is their decision when you hit these moments. And you know, I think that when we look at this convention, we'll put it into context that for most people, they'd just be tuning in to this, the Donald Trump show. And you talk about the breakouts. I don't expect a breakout from this one because Donald Trump, who's going to break out when you have Donald Trump hitting the stage two of three nights is what's being reported now.
Right. And obviously we'll have the vice presidential pick up at some point.
Yeah, I'll speak tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So that should bring a lot of eyeballs to people who are just curious about him and don't know. But I think you're right. I think that I have a question. So for the maybe you know this. I'm not sure if you do. Do the speeches that they give, some of these people that are random at Trump, are they approved by the RNC?
Everybody has a teleprompter. Everybody has their speech approved. And so they've had either someone write it for them, and so they provided text. Most of them are very short. Mm-hmm. So these people will be speaking for a couple of minutes max. So you see the speaker list. Shit, how could 30 people be in prime time?
Right.
They speak for 30 seconds, 1 minute. So they're introducing someone else. And so they will have the text there. That doesn't mean they stick to it, though. It's live.
No. Yeah.
So you don't know if they will stay with their provided text or not. But yes, it is all scripted.
Yeah, last time we had the Clint Eastwood one, I think everyone remembers.
Yeah.
That went interestingly. Some people loved it.
Right.
Some people didn't. It went crazy, though. Let's go ahead and take a call, though. Let's go to Dell, who's calling from Florence, Arizona, online, too. Dell, thanks for holding. Dell, you there?
Hi.
Go ahead.
I am. Jay Gordon, you do a lot of good, and I thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just have a comment to make, and I'll make it short and brief. We, the people of the United States, we either stand together, or if we don't stand together and put all our differences aside, regardless of what they are, if we don't band together, we're not going to have an America. We need to fight together.
This is part of the discussion, Dell, is that we're not just dealing with what's happening abroad. So it's not just what's happening in Syria and Iraq. It's not just what's happening in Nice, Orlando, or San Bernardino. It's not just Islamic terrorism that we're facing, but also this uncertainty and division inside of our own country that we haven't seen since the 60s, really. The 1960s of this unrest happening and the racial discussion, which honestly hasn't really been had, and instead has been, I think, overshadowed by extreme acts of violence against law enforcement. And so the discussion that needs to be had about uniting as a country is also being overshadowed by these shocking incidents of violence week to week.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling. Let's go ahead and move on. Let's go to Diane, who is calling in Indiana.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Good. Well, I just had a comment, really, and that is that I understand that ISIS is wanting a global caliphate.
Right.
The whole globe. So what difference does it make, as our famous former Secretary of State said, whether as the, you know, they're from Syria or Iraq, these ones that are committing this terrorism? I don't get that point.
Well, and so that you're talking about the comments made. Let's play those again by Secretary of State John Kerry. He was pressed by Jake Tapper about whether ISIS is actually, you know, on the run, or are they being defeated? So take a listen. This is, again, Jake Tapper responding directly. Let's play Byte 7 first. We'll just set it up for everybody in case you're just joining us. Take a listen. This was Secretary Kerry's response and Jake Tapper, they're back and forth.
They are on the run. And I believe what we're seeing are the desperate actions of an entity that sees the noose closing around it.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'm not sure that it looks that way to the public that ISIS is on the run. In just the last few weeks, we have
seen a
series of ISIS-inspired attacks. 49 killed in Orlando, 45 killed in Istanbul at the airport, more than 200 killed in Baghdad, 84 in Nice. This is just the last 5 weeks.
So is ISIS really on the run? Is this noose surrounding them? Are they really feeling that? Take a listen, Byte 8.
I don't think ISIS is on the run.
Well,
Jason, they might be expanding.
Look, Jake. Well, Jake, it depends on where you mean ISIS. I don't know if this guy was actually ISIS, and nor do you. And we don't know that the guy in Orlando was fundamentally ISIS.
nor even told what to do by ISIS. If people are inspired, they're inspired. But ISIL, which is based in Iraq and Syria, is under huge pressure. And that is just a fact.
So it almost sounds like that if ISIS is stronger, we're safer. That's how it kind of comes off. I mean, it's like, oh, don't worry, all these attacks are happening every week because they're losing strength. Yep. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then we, you know, fundamentally ISIS. These are new terms
right.
that the administration is going to try to throw out to make a difference between what happens internationally when it comes to ISIS outside of Iraq and Syria. So when it comes to Iraq and Syria, oh, that's the real ISIS. But when it comes to the terror attacks that they're coordinating, because they have safe havens in Iraq and Syria, they've got to have a place to coordinate. They have to have a place to operate from. You know, for Al-Qaeda, it was Afghanistan under the Taliban government. For ISIS, well, they established their own government in the cities across Syria and Iraq, including Raqqa. And so they are coordinating their terror attacks from there. So what the administration is trying to do is draw a distinction. So you have fundamentally ISIS. Fundamentally, ISIS means in Iraq and Syria. And then everything else, well, that doesn't really count. That's not going to cut it with the American people.
Absolutely
it's not going to cut it with journalists like Jake Tapper. That no one is going to take this for real in light of the terror attacks that are happening in the Western world.
And you got to give it to Jake Tapper. Every time he seems to actually, he swings for the fences with this and is the least, I'd say, he comes off like a true journalist, which is nice to see sometimes on some of these news stations where he's not afraid to push the comment, especially when you have such ridiculous statements that make you feel worse as the American people are going, oh, actually, they're doing much worse. Well, look at the last 6 weeks. You know, that's most people see the last 6 weeks. They see the attacks on the homeland, and the homeland meaning America, France, you know, Western culture.
You know, so we're going to get into politics as well, but I want to take a phone because Bill in Texas.
Sure.
So kind of transition into our next segment, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us about politics because it's the Republican National Convention. And obviously there's a lot happening in the world and in our own country, horrible things happening. But we have to also take note that we are electing our next commander-in-chief in just a few months and the party conventions are about to kick off. So let's go to Bill in Texas on line one.
Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just have a simple question. The
okay.
polls show that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are running neck to neck. I think that's a lie. By the look on the news, you look at where Hillary is and those that gather around Donald Trump, isn't Donald Trump really more ahead than Hillary?
I wouldn't say, you know, Bill, I think some of it depends on where you are. So you're calling in from Fort Worth, Texas. You're probably, you know, running into mostly people who are Republican voters. I mean, just based off the politics of where you are in Texas. So not likely Hillary Clinton supporters. That's part one. Part two, our country is very divided. So I think if you put any candidate up, no matter how popular they are or not, and Hillary Clinton may be on the not and Donald Trump may be on the not,
right.
is 50%. So
right.
It's right on the margins. I do think the polls are generally correct in showing how divided our country is. Now, when it gets more specific than that, 5 points, 4 points, that's where it becomes difficult.
And that's odd. You know, we've come to the point where that's a blowout often, is 5%.
Yeah, that is a blowout.
And so that's what you have to remember is, yes, that's where our country's divided. But you do have to say, unfortunate situations have occurred, horrible things, events, and that does benefit the fact that the RNC is tonight and Make America Safe Again is the tone. So people are, you're seeing the news track what's happening. It would have been a lot harder for Donald Trump probably to get as much news coming out of the RNC if these weren't his campaign speeches. These are what he's, this is what he's been talking about, and now we're there.
Yeah, and you have to have a very serious tone tonight because
absolutely.
Of all what's happened in Baton Rouge, what's happened in Dallas, what's happened in Nice, what's happened here in the United States. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Take a loan off Fannie. Take a loan for free. Take a loan off Fannie.
684-3110. Bill, who had called in from Texas, asked about this idea of, is it really Donald Trump running away with this election? And that's what it seemed like from him, from media coverage. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of focus on Donald Trump in the next few days. There should be, now this is based on previous politics, pre-Trump politics, there's usually what's called a convention bump. And that's how you can kind of judge how someone's party convention went. So Donald Trump should, based on averages, be way ahead of Hillary Clinton by the end of this week, just based off polls, because people have been exposed to him. They say, oh, this is interesting, this is exciting. The difference is Donald Trump's pretty exposed already. You know, people have gotten to know Donald Trump through network television shows. He's been on broadcast TV for over a decade. And so may not see those kind of bumps. Also, Hillary Clinton, same kind of thing. She's also very well known. So some of that will come to other speakers if anybody breaks out, which we talked about is kind of difficult.
If anything good or bad
Donald
happens.
Trump. And, of course, this overall thing, which we'll get a better sense of from this convention also, but it's what Martha McCallum was talking about this with Britt Hume.
That's a great
point. Bite 11, is that the idea of, is it kind of just the secret voting, secret support for Trump? Take a listen.
The big question that remains is there an underlying surprise here? Is there a Brexit? You know, is there something that we're not seeing in the electorate?
I don't think you can rule that possibility out. But, you know, when you start breaking down the electorate, however you choose to do it, you know, by race or by income strata or whatever, you know, you still end up with him in a deficit. And it, you know, there may be in this country what the Brits call the shy Tory factor,
right,
where people won't tell pollsters they're going to vote Tory, won't tell them they're going to vote conservative, and then they go to the polls and do it.
So right now you do see the major polls of battleground states, but don't look at those national polls. That's just more of just kind of a general feeling. It comes down to about a dozen or less states that really sway the election. The others are typical Democrat or typical Republican states that you know where their electoral votes are going. But you look at those 10, Hillary Clinton's doing well in all of them.
Right.
But yet it doesn't really feel that way. It doesn't feel like she's running away with an election, which you have to wonder if there is kind of a silent majority that just isn't going to ever put a Donald Trump sticker on their car.
Absolutely. And I think that's 100% happening.
Leading into it. And if that is happening, then all the polls I think you can believe is that it's very close. Your vote will matter. That's what we know. And I think we knew that from past elections in our own country as well. It's 50-50.
Yeah. I mean, my friends, like I said, that are historically maybe left-leaning or certainly not socially conservative, but have young families, they've all said, look, I'm never going to post on social media that I'm voting for Donald Trump. I'm never going to put a sticker on Donald Trump, but I'm going to vote for him because security is our number one concern, and they don't like how it's currently happening. And I think that's what you had a comment we just got in on Facebook. I'll have to pull it up, where someone said something similar, that they're trying to like kind of push this narrative that the current administration is the best way to do it, so vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
And I don't know if the American people are feeling that way. I'm not sure who commented that, but thank you for your comment. Let's go ahead though and take a phone call. Let's go to Mike. It's in Indianapolis. Thanks for holding, Mike. Appreciate it.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a conservative 46-year-old, father of five, lived in the Midwest my whole life. And in our Sunday school class yesterday, there were adults that were crying I think there is an underswell, to be honest with you, in terms of that. But in terms of there's people scared and yeah. they want to change badly. But my question is this. My question is, based on the assumption that Donald Trump is elected, the first 100 days, how fast does that look like? I know it's a bureaucratic monster yeah. that's been, yeah. you know, like, look at Obamacare, but all the things, just, you know, we want to unwind it. Yeah, we want to do that, all that stuff. But, I mean, we have generals under this administration that have, that in the field that are basically probably just sitting back with their hands up high. We've got Secretary of Defense. Look how many we've gone through. I mean, there's just so much of that yeah. that we just need to, like, just take a thing and just swipe across the board. Yeah.
Mike, I mean, just to answer it simply enough, the tone can be reset very quickly. Donald Trump can reset a tone. The next president of the United States can reset a tone. Obviously, if it's Hillary Clinton, I don't expect it to feel that different, honestly. Maybe on a few fronts, but overall, kind of it's typical liberal bureaucracy of Washington, D.C., big government continues on. Programs that seem like they're always failing, not really working, running out of money. We'll just keep, you know, raising taxes, or the idea of at least trying to raise taxes. Now, you asked the actual substance, so you can change that tone very quickly. The actual substance can take time. And I say that because it will depend on how the House of Representatives looks and also the United States Senate. Right now, the Republicans control the Senate with a slim margin and the House. If that were to happen, if that control remains and Donald Trump is president of the United States, then you can see very swift change, not just to the tone of how the federal government is run or some of the bigger foreign policy decisions like the fight against ISIS, but you could actually see a fundamental change in policies and law. That will then depend on the outcome of not just the presidential election, but congressional races at the House and Senate level.
That's right. Let's try to take these last couple of calls. Let's go to Karen, who's calling in California. You're on the air.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
You're on the air, Karen. Go ahead.
My call.
Go ahead with your comment, Karen.
I am just wondering, where are all of our mothers, grandmothers, fathers, sisters, brothers? Where are all of our prayer warriors? Where are all that believe in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ to bring our nation back to where it should be? Why aren't we hearing more of people getting together and being bold in the name of Jesus and praying? Why have our cities and counties and our people just cowered to the worldly ideas? Why don't we become a nation that prays again?
Thank you, Karen, so much for calling. And I think, you know, everyone kind of supports that sentiment.
I would add that we have been through much worse in our country. That some of this, because of the way the media works now, we get this double down focus on horrible events that happened. So whether it's the shooting of the police officers in Baton Rouge, not to say it shouldn't get attention, but it wouldn't have gotten the same kind of attention 20 years ago necessarily. What happened in Dallas? What happened in Turkey? What happened in Nice? It is inundating us constantly. So we have this feeling of it's all out of control. Not to say that's wrong fully, but remember, we've been through world wars where the loss of life was in the hundreds of thousands of Americans. And we're not dealing with that right now.
Yeah, most of the living generation hasn't been through that. I think that's where the feeling is. And yes, the world is on your phone. We have listeners and people that watch on Facebook right now in Germany, in France, in these countries that are in Africa, in random areas of the world. You never expect people to get this message, are getting it through social media. So the world is changing. And yes, it does feel like France is a lot closer than it maybe once was.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it feels that way. I mean, you good friends all over the world now that you may never even meet because of social media. Let's take this last call. Barbara's calling, though, from Orlando, Florida, somewhere obviously where these issues are highly going on right now because of everything that's happened in Central Florida. But Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, lady that just talked, we are praying. We just don't hear about it. But my question is, do you think it's possible not to have a rigged election?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it comes down to the obviously there are major legal efforts. And in Florida, in a state like yours, which is very important for the elections, both candidates will have teams of lawyers on the ground ready to file motions, ready to file in court if they need to, if they feel like there's been voting irregularity. So I do think we have fair elections in our country. And that's not something you could be vigilant about it. But I don't think we have to be too concerned that we're going to have a fair election.
That's right. You can join us later today if you want to hear the show archived or different point of view, or if you're listening on radio and you want to hear what we talked about during the breaks, go to facebook.com/jsecular. Get the Jay Secular Live podcast each and every day on iTunes or however you get podcasts.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.